go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Welcome to our radio program called Go Rebuild My Church. My name is Peter Doan, and along with my wife Leslie, we're really excited to be with you again today as we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, Go Rebuild My Church, and how this theme is relevant to the church today. Leslie and I have recently launched a lay apostolate called Encounter Jesus Discipleship Ministries. You can learn more about us and our passion for renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 12 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church. And hopefully, through the ministry of this radio program, we can provide pathways for you as individuals, as well as parishes, to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal. If you're joining us for the first time, we've just launched a brand new series that we believe is critical to rebuilding and renewing the American Catholic Church. And our series is called A Call to Return to Biblical Christianity. This call will challenge each of us to rebuild on an individual level, a family level, a parish level, and yes, a national church level. Peter, last week, in introducing this call, you did help us look at some of the ways this can practically take place, so I think it would be helpful now for you to summarize briefly what we covered in our last broadcast.
So, Leslie, one of the points that we've made in our broadcast is that we really want to be solutions-oriented and solutions-based, and not leave our listeners with wringing of the hands or hopelessness feeling or as we look at some challenges in the church today. So we want to take a journey into biblical Christianity and see what that looks like and how to bring into the lives of individuals and families and parishes, as you mentioned, and the great church as well. To do that, we're going to use as our primer this wonderful book in the New Testament, the Acts of the Apostles, the fifth book in our New Testament.
I agree, Peter. The Acts of the Apostles is a wonderful book, and it just brings to life biblical Christianity. And for us, as Catholic Christians, a return to biblical Christianity is a high priority. But I think it's also a wonderful opportunity for us to discover the traditions of our Holy Church. They've been handed down to us over centuries, and first from the Lord to the apostles, then through the oral tradition, and then finally it was written down for us in the Holy Scriptures. And The Acts of the Apostle gives us a clear picture of how the apostolic church was built.
Amen to that. And as we discussed in the Acts of the Apostles, we focused, first of all, last week on the Old Testament and this amazing story about Josiah in 2 Kings 22 and 2 Chronicles 34. And it gives us a wonderful word picture of what we're after in this new series, Leslie. And it captures what we need to rebuild the church today. And I even kind of referred to it as the recording of a return to biblical Judaism. And in that scenario, we see this young king who was became king at 8 years old. And at 16 years old, he had a conversion. And the scripture points out that he began to seek God. And as we've pointed out over the times together on this broadcast, we believe that everything really begins with that personal conversion to the Lord. That's when things really start happening. After that conversion, then at 26 years old, he began to have a movement in his heart that he wanted to rebuild the temple. He wanted to remove the idols that were just filling the southern kingdom of Judah at that time. And he called for a reform, Leslie. And during that reform, he sent his servants to the temple in the process of rebuilding it. And one of the servants brushed off and found the law. And he read it, he brought it back to Josiah, and he began to read it to Josiah said, "Read it to me." And he began to read that book of the law to Josiah, and Josiah fell on his face, ripped his clothes, fell on his face, and cried out to God. Josiah went on to reestablish the Passover that hadn't been celebrated in generations. In fact, the Chronicles say that he celebrated the Passover as intensely as it had not been celebrated since the days of Samuel, and he even celebrated it more than kings. And you include King David in that. You would think King David would be really highlighting the Passover, but Josiah restored that focus as well.
Well, Peter, I personally had not connected the story of Josiah with the call to rebuild and renew our Holy Mother Church, and it is a great account. I think all of us should take some time to read that, because this is a journey that these people took back to the God of the Scripture and you know, really returned to the traditions of their faith. Also, last week, you took us to the Acts of the Apostles and a catechesis that Pope Francis had taught on those scriptures.
Yeah, I thought that was really great, since we're really going to be focusing on the Acts of the Apostles. And Pope Francis, in May of 2019, did a catechesis in his Wednesday audiences on the Acts of the Apostles. And he pointed out a couple things that I think were really helpful for us as we venture into this series. First of all, he pointed out that the Acts of the Apostles take us on a journey. And he mentioned, Leslie, that that journey is nothing less than the gospel journeying out into the whole world. Secondly, he pointed out the importance of the Holy Spirit. And he said that the Holy Spirit was like dynamite. And it's interesting, though, that word dunamis in the scripture, where it talks about the power of the Holy Spirit, the word power in the Greek language is dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. And he focused that the Spirit, because there's dynamite power, really comes in and he sets hearts on fire and scatters men's schemes and really brings to bear the gospel of the kingdom. And along with that, he said, it's the Holy Spirit alone that generates all this activity. Without him, we kind of just have like an empty shell without that power. He also mentioned that Acts follows directly from the Gospels. It ends with the ascension in the Gospels. And then the Acts immediately picks up on the next part of God's economy, and that is the sending forth of the church after the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then finally, he pointed out that, and I really like this, he said that we need to understand a covenant of time. In the Acts of the apostles were asking him, is the kingdom of Israel going to be restored now, Jesus? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know these times and seasons. He said, but it's important for you to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And I like the Pope use this phrase, a covenant of time. And that's, I think, something that's of value to all of us, Leslie, that, you know, instead of thinking and fearing what's going to happen next year or 3 years down the road, Jesus is saying, really focus on the day-to-day calling that you have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and to take this gospel out into the world.
Well, the Pope's catechesis really does help us see the importance of the Book of Acts in a return to biblical Christianity. So thank you for that summary, Peter, and we're now going to take a short break. And when we return, we're ready to explore the Apostolic Church as described in the Book of Acts.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today we're discussing the importance of the Book of Acts to the call to bring renewal to all of us as individuals, parishes, and the church at large. Peter, I think we're ready now to explore the Apostolic Church. Where do we begin?
Well, Leslie, I think we should begin right at the beginning of Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to read a few verses and between Acts 1 and verses 1 through 8. Not all the verses, but just a couple highlight that takes us to where we want to go today. So St. Luke is writing, and he says, "O Theophilus, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he has chosen." So right from the get-go, St. Luke tells us that the Holy Spirit is front and center, and Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, was giving command. He went on to say that while he was staying with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. Isn't that interesting? In Matthew, he says go, but here he's telling them to wait. And what are they waiting for? What Jesus called, it's interesting to think of the Holy Spirit as the promise of the Father, of everything that the Father could give us, right? Jesus focuses on the promise of the Father is nothing less than us being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus, the scriptures drop down a little bit. Finally, in verse 8, Jesus said, "You'll receive power." There's that word dunamis or dynamite. Okay, we will receive the dunamis of God when the Holy Spirit has come upon us, and we shall be witnesses. Okay, so the coming of the Holy Spirit is expressly so that, Leslie, we can have the courage to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth.
And, so, that's where all the rebuilding and renewal begins, right?
Yes, exactly. Now, in our Catholic faith, Leslie, at confirmation, we were meant to receive this dunamis, this power from on high. But, you know, there's a huge problem that we've talked about before that really is expressed in some of the statistics of the young people that receive this sacrament. Matthew Kelly has told us that 85% of the young people that are receiving the sacrament of confirmation, by the time that they're 18, become non-practicing Catholics. The Catechism teaches us that the sacrament has to be valid and certain elements need to take place. From the priest's point of view, Leslie, there needs to be proper form and proper matter. For instance, like in baptism, the proper form of the words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit," and the matter, of course, is water. So, but also, the Catechism teaches us that there is something that is essential on the receiver's part, and that is that we need to be properly disposed to receive the fullness of sanctifying graces in the sacrament.
So, Peter, what can we do to revisit the sacrament and really find solutions to this terrible statistics that we're seeing right now?
Well, this is not new with me, but a lot of emphasis in catechesis right now is the emphasis that some of these things have to start at home. Okay, there needs to be catechesis, not just in religious ed, but the catechesis needs to begin with mothers and fathers in the domestic church, talking with their sons and daughters, talking about the reality of the Holy Spirit, talking about these things that we're talking about today. And I want to give you a great example of a domestic church experience where the Holy Spirit became the real game changer in a person's life. And let me read you this account. In January of 1980, John Paul II told a group of people that he was ministering to, "From the time I was little, I learned to pray to the Holy Spirit. When I was 11, I was feeling sad because I have a lot of trouble with math." Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
"My dad showed me in a little book the hymn Veni Creator Spiritus, and he told me, pray this and he'll help you understand. So I've been praying this hymn every day for more than 40 years, and I've seen how much the divine Holy Spirit helps us." And I thought it would be worth our while as we initiate this emphasis that we're bringing the return to biblical Christianity to read this prayer to the Holy Spirit, because the Pope prayed this for 40 years after his father introduced it to him.
And if he was praying this, I think he's a wonderful model for us to do the same.
Absolutely. The prayer is, "Come, Holy Spirit, Creator blessed, and in our souls take up thy rest. Come with thy grace and heavenly aid to fill the hearts which thou hast made. O Comforter, to thee we cry, O heavenly gift of God most high, O font of life and fire of love, sweet anointing from above. Thou and thy sevenfold gifts are known, thou finger of God's hand we own. Thou promise of the Father, thou, who dost the tongue with power imbue. Kindle our sense from above, and make our hearts overflow with love. With patience firm and virtue high, the weakness of our flesh supply. Far from us drive the foe we dread, and grant us thy peace instead. So shall we not, with thee for guide, turn from the path of life aside. O may thy grace on us bestow, the Father and the Son to know, and thee through endless times confessed, of both the eternal Spirit blessed. Now to the Father and to the Son, who rose from death, be glory given. With thou, O Holy Comforter, henceforth all in earth and heaven. Amen. So this is, the Pope prayed this every day for 40 years, and I was so great to discover this. It was so great for me, because one of the things we're trying to get all of us to do, listeners and you and I, Leslie, is to call upon the Holy Spirit daily to come upon us for simple tasks. You know, say like whether it's teaching children that God can help you with a math problem, or if we face those big events in our life, in a hospital, in a intense situation at work, in school, etc., to learn to call upon the Holy Spirit.
And I think there are many renewal movements right now that are really trying to foster and encourage a relationship with the Holy Spirit, like
right.
Encounter, mm-hmm. The Encounter Ministries is
Tom Ponchak that we interviewed several weeks ago
is bringing that forth. So mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit really is front and center. It's the start of the starting point of rediscovering biblical Christianity, mm-hmm. And we've talked about it here before that the Holy Spirit was mentioned 40 times in the Acts of the Apostles, and you've said before that some people even think it should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So everyone, please stay with us now as we take another short break, and when we return, Peter and I will share a powerful example of going out in the Holy Spirit that we had last weekend.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Welcome back to today's broadcast. Today we are sharing the call to rebuild the Catholic faith here in America through the restoration of biblical Christianity. In our last segment, we discussed how the Acts of the Apostles become a field manual for us as we seek to rebuild and renew the church. Last weekend, Peter and I had a wonderful opportunity to actually put into practice these truths. Peter, I think it would be helpful to share our experience and what it's like when you hear the call to go and ask for the Holy Spirit to empower you.
Yes, Leslie, the Lord called us to put into practice what we've been talking about last weekend. And so last weekend, we went out and evangelized at the 36th annual Italian Street Festival that's put on and hosted by Holy Rosary Catholic Church in Indianapolis. And we hosted a table at the festival sponsored by St. Paul Street Evangelization Apostolate, of which we're familiar with as we were with Adam Janke 2 weeks ago and interviewed him. So let's point out here, Leslie, just exactly what we did. And towards families, neighbors, and co-workers, this can happen not just going out to festivals, but this is really a call and an example how God can really open up doors by the Holy Spirit for us to pray and share and give testimony to those that the Lord would bring to us.
Well, Peter, how did you prepare for this outreach? And talk to us a little bit about who served on your team.
So to prepare for this outreach, we first of all created a team, and through some networking and conversations, I connected with two couples, a Gen X couple, if you're familiar with some of that nomenclature, and also a millennial couple. So we had baby boomers. Guess who the baby boomers were, Leslie?
That's us.
Yep. We had baby boomers, we had Gen X, and we had millennials. Next time we need to include Generation Z, that's the young
generation.
Absolutely,
we need to get them involved.
So one of the things we first of all did is that we had our team of six of us pray all week in preparation for our event. And then we trained them when they, the day of the event, to just how to reach out and share in this scenario. And we've talked about many times before that Jesus used the show, tell, deploy, and supervise methods that we've spoken out before. And that's how we, first of all, showed how we worked our event and how we shared and how we prayed. And then we told them what we were doing, and then we deployed them, so to speak. And then from then on in, they did a great job.
And I think it's important to note that in our prayer the preceding week, we were invoking the Holy Spirit. We were asking the Holy Spirit to come upon this event in a special way.
Every day, yeah.
Next, talk to us a little bit about the venue and how did you go about selecting an appropriate event for this type of outreach?
So as I mentioned, this 36th annual Italian festival is put together by the church, and it's in the historic Italian section of Indianapolis, and the festival draws thousands of folks.
And there were thousands there the weekend we were there.
Boy, you're not kidding. Families from all different kinds of backgrounds, all ages were there, certainly a cross-section of the Indy population. And the blessing of that festival is that the shadow of the church is over all the festivities and gives a wonderful background and certainly made evangelization seem like something that should be happening a byproduct of that sacred space.
Right. I noticed in all the booths, they had church members working all the booths.
Yeah, exactly. And to our knowledge, adding this evangelization tent to the festival was unique to the festival and was not duplicated anywhere else in that festival.
Now, I know from experience when we worked other events, the location of our table is critical. So describe for our listeners where we were positioned and how it worked to our advantage.
So this was a Holy Spirit thing, okay? We were strategically located next to one of the most popular venues, the cannoli tent. And the lines literally right next to us just circled the festival.
I've never seen so many cannoli made in my life. It was incredible.
Yeah, I think there were thousands that they had prepared for. I can't remember how many it was. But and so the kind of evangelizing that we were doing, Leslie, in the midst of this was what we call non-confrontational. Rather than approaching the people or kind of cold calling on them, we created a space that was inviting, attractive, and non-threatening. And we positioned ourselves behind a table, and people were attracted to the colorful rosaries that we have in our ministry, the crucifixes and the miraculous medals, and the rosaries were blessed, so there's, of course, sacramentals. And again, our placement was near the park as well, where the concert was taking place. So there's people coming and going from the concert to getting food that had an opportunity to see that we were there.
And there's also a plethora of materials, holy cards, pamphlets on a variety of topics that are displayed on our table as well. Now, for those that are interested in doing something like this in the future, Peter, when did the team have to arrive? What's it involve? What's involved in the setup?
So we arrived early, about 3:30. It began at 5 o'clock, and we set up our table. The outreach was from 5 till 10 p.m. on Friday and Saturday night. And like I said, we were strategically located near the cannolis. And we've done several outreaches in the past like this, Leslie, but this by far was the biggest crowd and the greatest opportunity to reach others. And for 5 hours each evening, there was a constant stream of people that came to us, and then we gave away countless rosaries, crucifixes, and miraculous medals. You know, the miraculous medal, remember, is the medal that Mother Teresa would always hand out when she's ministering.
Now, lastly, Peter, and most importantly, why did you want to do this? What can we learn from this type of outreach about the restoration of biblical Christianity?
So I think that what you're asking is the most important question here, Leslie. Why did we do this? And we go back to Acts chapter 1 that we read earlier. Jesus said, wait and get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then go to your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, and the remotest parts. If Judea represents going out beyond that which is close to each of us, Leslie, our families, neighbors, friends, this was ministering to complete strangers, yet a warmth and openness we experienced.
Yes, it was actually disarming. Part of this ministry involves a prayer station. So we actually had a beautiful placard out in front of our table. It has a picture of Jesus on it, and it says, need prayer. And it lists different types of prayer needs. And I was amazed by how many people did come up to the table and actually were open to receiving prayer for their needs. So how did the prayer station work? What was the role of the Holy Spirit in that?
So in reflecting on last weekend, Leslie, as I've mentioned to you several times, it really expanded our soul to do this, as we had the privilege of ministering and talking to and sharing and praying for people that God led to us by the Holy Spirit that had some deep needs. I there must have been at least 10 to 15 people that came to us and said, I or my close family relative is in stage 4 cancer. Just so many people that are battling with cancer in our day and age today. Then also, again, these were some dramatic needs. A person came up, their daughter had been murdered. A son committed suicide. A woman who's whose husband left her after 25 years of marriage. A woman who feared for the future of her autistic son, who would care for him after she was gone. Praying for a boyfriend who had become an alcoholic. A woman was on a breathing machine in deep pain and was being pushed in a wheelchair by her husband. She wanted prayer for the deep pain that she was in. And then I said to the man, is there anything that we can pray for you? And he opened up and he said, you know something? I'm having problems with alcohol and I'm self-medicating because of all the things that we're dealing with. So we got to pray for him as well. And then a woman whose daughter had died last year of COVID. And then finally, Leslie, this is the one that sticks with me the most, I think. A man came up and his name was Willie. And he was a nice looking older gentleman, and he had a daughter or a young woman with him. And I said, do you want any medals or anything like this? And he said, no, my spirituality is okay. Anything I can pray for? And he said, to tell you the truth, yes, there is. My wife passed away yesterday. And so we prayed for him. He teared up, and that was a powerful time in the Lord.
Well, I can tell, Peter, that the world and all the worlds that each of us live in, we're all waiting to have be baptized in the Holy Spirit and to go and tell this good news to the world.
Amen. So we want to thank you, audience, for joining us today as we seek to connect individuals and parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic Church in America. To hear our past programs, please go to CatholicRadio.org and make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye and keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.